The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
It's nice to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. I'm kind of a substitute teacher. I teach here and there, and sometimes for Andrea, sometimes for Gil. And I also teach loving kindness, happy hour on Wednesday afternoons. Nikki Murgafori and I kind of teach that, which is beautiful. So it's beautiful for me. It's a fun thing to do. I know, Angie, sometimes you go. And those of you may have noticed when Randy greeted me this morning, he said, "Have you been on retreat?" And actually, I've been doing a lot of retreat practice lately. Kind of on the longer side too, you know, month, couple months, something like this. And I think it's reasonable to ask, like, well, why would somebody do something like that? And what good is it to spend so much time doing that? And one thing I wanted to point to is that I've noticed this has been such a subtle, but it's been so impactful. My relationship, my experience of, my understanding of anger. Anger. Yeah, so Andrea, I was just with Andrea. We spent a month. She was the teacher. I was a student, you know, me with lots of other people in Massachusetts, so the month of June. And but before that, she had said to me, "Diane, I remember one time when you said, I don't experience anger." And I thought, like, wow, did I really say that? Because there was a time when my meditation was all about anger, and yet somehow I was like disconnected from it. I was disconnected, didn't realize that I was angry, and instead it was showing up in my life, and this kind of, you know, a little bit of passive aggressiveness, or harboring some resentments or bitterness, or just treating certain people rudely, or, you know, not with some openness, but with some kind of a closed heart. I was so used to it, I didn't even recognize that was how I was in the world. Right? We can talk about why that was, but that doesn't matter so much for today's discussion. I just discovered with more meditation practice, and for me, retreat practice doesn't mean everybody has to go on retreats. You may find your way without retreats. That is without necessarily specifically saying, I'm going to go on retreat and I'm going to figure out this anger thing. I didn't do that. It just happened. It just was part of the unfolding of my practice, the unfolding of my understanding of how to be in the world, how the world works, how I work. And anger just kind of naturally fell away. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, about anger. And, you know, the way that I'm describing my experience of it is that I just didn't realize I had so much anger. I wasn't expressing it. I wasn't a person that was going out there yelling at people and doing these types of things. Though now I do remember that some person I was dating a number of years ago, quite a few years ago, told me, "You are so angry." "I am not angry. Why do you keep on saying I'm angry?" I was angry. I just didn't know, right? I was just kind of disconnected from myself, right? And so with meditation practice now, I can see, oh, yeah, this person was right. So I think with some of the more, I'll use this word, difficult or challenging emotions, we can either be like me, that we're disconnected from them, maybe not experiencing them directly, or we can be the opposite, where we're expressing it freely and it's spilling out of us everywhere and anywhere, and even in ways we're not even aware of. I would say that either of those ways don't bring the most freedom for us. We're being pushed around by our anger. And they also don't bring the most ease, you know, the sense of well-being. I think all of us want to be in this world with a sense of ease and a sense of freedom, not being pushed around, being able to do what makes sense to us, what feels like the most supportive for us and those around us. So to be clear, when I'm talking about anger, I'm talking about anger that is like filled with a certain amount of hostility. Hostility is kind of a strong word. I certainly wouldn't have used this word. But maybe a little bit of resentment or argumentativeness or antagonism, maybe antipathy or unfriendliness or withdrawal. So I don't want anger to get confused with fierceness. Like sometimes we need to be fierce and we need to say no. Right? We need to set boundaries. We need to say, I'm not going to accept this. This is not okay. But we can do that, right, without this feeling of, this little bit of hostility in there. Instead, we can do it with love. And we often see that that's right how parents are with children. No, that's how we can be when we're setting boundaries with people who want to take advantage of us or treat us disrespectfully. And we can see that if we look into the teachings of early Buddhism, certainly the Buddha had a certain amount of fierceness. So this often doesn't get talked about in Dharma talks, but in some situations, he's calling people fools. He's saying, like, you fool, don't you understand, X, Y, Z? Or there's a story where the monks were in an uproar and fighting with each other, and I can't remember if they went to him or if he happened to come to this community, but nevertheless, he left. He said, I'm not going to deal with you guys while you're all fighting with each other, and left. Kind of said, come talk to me when you're a little bit more calmed down. So there was a certain amount of fierceness in the way that the Buddha taught you. So I don't want to think that anger means that we're always passive, and not having anger means that we're passive and always saying yes and allow people to walk all over us or take advantage of us or something like that. I also don't want to say that the goal of practice, meditation practice, or loving kindness practice, or any of the practices we do, the goal is not to get rid of our emotions. The goal is not to kind of like dampen the range of our emotionality and say, okay, well, this is acceptable and that isn't acceptable, right? We don't want to live a life like that. Our emotions are part of what brings richness and beauty to our lives. And it's amazing. I think it's incredible, right? This human experience, the range that we have the capacity to experience beautiful, beautiful love, right? And care. And on the opposite side, right, some of this real anger. We want to have a range of emotions. That's what makes some richness to our lives. And we don't want to feel shame for having some emotions. We just want to allow emotions to arise. After all, they're telling us something. They arise for reasons. It's not random. Doesn't mean we understand exactly the reasons all the time, but they're not random. And they often can help us and support us and be a resource for us. When we're feeling the emotions, as simple as a little bit of well-being or a little bit of contentment, a little bit of ease, we can soak these up. We can bathe in them. We can relax into them and allow them to support us and maybe provide a certain type of healing that can happen if we just allow ourselves to be with these senses of well-being, which may not be our dominant experience. But so often we kind of discount them. These may be subtle feelings of contentment or well-being or ease. They don't have to be loud emotions to be important. They don't have to be loud in order to be impactful. And then on the other emotions, we don't want to have to be run away from them or to feel like we have to hide from them. We want to feel like to have some confidence that, okay, I can be with this. This is difficult, this anger or this sadness or this confusion. So we're not trying to get rid of our emotions, and we're not trying to say that they're bad. We just want to be able to have them to enhance our life, to support our lives, and to be able to work with them skillfully in a way that they can enhance and support our lives. I think, imagine what it would be like to just move through the world with an open heart. Just have that kind of be a default way. And I can say with retreat practice, my heart is so much more open than it used to be. Somehow I've gained some more confidence that I can be with difficulties. And I've also, when you experience some well-being, and again, this doesn't have to be our dominant experience. It can, sometimes it's subtle. But to value those experiences, then we start to notice, oh yeah, if this is well-being, wow, what I'm experiencing over here is not well-being. And this difference starts to become more and more clear. And then we just naturally start to go towards where there's more ease and well-being. We don't have to set up a little project and a timeline to do that. It helps to do that. We can cultivate it, but it's also a natural process. If we just start recognizing those times of ease, then we will just naturally start to go that way. So, as I said, that often, our emotions have something to teach us and to show us. And anger, of course, is pointing to something. And often, anger is a clue about our underlying beliefs about ourselves and about how the world should be. Sometimes we have beliefs. I wouldn't say sometimes. We all do. We just, through our families, our communities, through the media, right? We are all getting these messages about how things should be. And whether we recognize them or not, we've kind of adopted them. So sometimes when we have anger, it's a way of sort of, oh yeah, okay, things aren't the way I think they should be. And that's an opportunity for us to inquire, well, what is this? Sometimes we have beliefs about comfort, happiness, ease, security. I should feel comfortable all the time. I should have security all the time. I should feel comfortable all the time. I think those are beautiful aspirations, but we all know that in order for that to be true, we have to really broaden our capacity to be with all kinds of experiences so that we can feel comfortable, that we can feel safe, that we can feel like we have some ease, even when things aren't going the way that we would prefer. And that's part of what this practice is about, is to increase our capacity so that we can feel safe, so that we can feel some ease and some happiness instead of only when the conditions are exactly perfect, when everybody else is behaving the way they're supposed to behave and I'm the way that I'm supposed to be and all that kind of stuff, right? It's easy to fall into that. So sometimes even though like with this practice we may say, oh yes, everything's impermanent, it's kind of like a Buddhist thing, and it arises and passes away, and we may understand that intellectually, but there still may be a part of us that just doesn't like it when things that we think are imperative for our sense of well-being maybe aren't as reliable as we thought they were. So often anger can be a response to that. So when we're experiencing anger, it can help us to understand some of our underlying beliefs. When we understand some of our underlying beliefs, we can bring them into the light of day, so to speak, and examine them with a kind, loving investigation. We don't have to beat ourselves up. Oh, silly that you think X, Y, or Z. Like, oh yeah, of course I think this way. My family was this way. My community is this way or something. Maybe we can just say, okay, of course, I know where this is. And sometimes, oftentimes, I don't know if I can say all the time, When we have that type of an understanding, then some of the power, some of the energy behind the anger or any other difficult emotion kind of drains out of it and kind of like falls away. So it's when we feel anger, there's a difference, of course, between feeling anger and then acting out with, especially if it's filled with hostility. Or if we harbor the anger, maybe we don't act it out, but we're like just hold on to it in some way that it's just this low-burning fire, you know, like charcoal or something like this, just kind of burning inside of us. I think probably all of us have this experience to hold on to resentments as a certain type of poison in some way, kind of to have some bitterness. It's doesn't promote freedom and ease and well-being. I'm not saying it's easy to let go of these things, and I'm not saying that we haven't been wronged, and I'm not saying that there perhaps aren't terrible things that should not have happened, and I'm not saying that people haven't done terrible things. All those are true. People, right, things have happened to us that shouldn't have happened. People have treated us in ways that they shouldn't have treated us. Maybe in the wider community and society, things are ways that they really shouldn't be. But holding on to bitterness, resentment, is a type of closing down, is a type of, it's not a sense of well-being, it's not a sense of freedom or ease. If we act out out of our anger, yelling or sending vicious emails, or emails that maybe they're not even vicious, but have a tone to them, often it kind of diminishes our credibility with ourselves and with others. Like, oh, okay, here's a person who's prone to do this. You know, they will, it just affects how they will interact with us. It could harm others, or we could hurt other people's feelings. I don't think we want to be moving through the world harming people. I don't think anybody here wants to do that. Right? It doesn't, that's, if we want there to be greater peace in the world, there's no reason why it can't start with us. Why we can't have a greater peace, you know, help create the conditions for a greater peace in our little worlds. And then, of course, if we act out of hostility or anger, it just creates the conditions, of course it does, for regret, remorse. Wow, is that painful. I not too long ago said something that I had remorse. It wasn't an awful thing, but it wasn't done with a kind of an open heart, and it wasn't like a terrible thing, but wow, did I have so, I had so much regret, like, oh, that person felt bad. And it, and then regret is something that's hard to let go of too, right? So we're just like adding on to this. So we want to experience anger. We want to experience our emotions, but that's not the same as acting out from them. So how do we do that? How can we be in touch with what's happening with us? Be in touch with the reality of the moment instead of kind of trying to, what's the word? Like, I want to say paper mache, but I'm not sure if that's the right word. Just cover over, maybe that's the word I'll say. Instead of like covering over, oh yeah, it's all fine. And yet we're like have this bitterness or resentment. So there's a few things we can do. One is just to get to know ourselves and how we are with anger. It doesn't have to do with meditation. It can just be an inquiry that we do whenever feels like the right time to do it. And just kind of reflect back on the, when we've been angry and what kinds of occasions get us angry. What makes us feel angry? I'll say that some time ago I had to I was going to purchase something, and the salesperson was on commission. And, you know, there was this, you know, I thought I was doing okay. And I don't know, let's just say this, when I got home and looked at the fine print and the receipt and all the stuff, I realized, oh, I felt like I'd been taken advantage of. Wow, this, whew, all this anger just really arose. And I couldn't just let go. And I was like, what is this about? When I said I couldn't let go, I was kind of like replaying over and over, like this transaction, over and over, with this kind of obsessive quality going, like replaying it through. I'm like, wow, this is a terrible feeling. And when I started kind of like investigating into it, I was like, what's going on? Why is this so sticky? Realize, oh yeah, I wanted to think of myself as a savvy person, right? I wanted to think of myself as a smart, you know, capable shopper. But I wasn't in this time, in this occasion, I wasn't. And once I realized that it was all about this view of myself was threatened, once I saw that, then it could soften. Like, okay, maybe there's plenty of times I'm a savvy shopper. It's not my highest priority, but I didn't want to think of myself as somebody that would get taken advantage of. And starting to see that, then the anger lost a lot of its energy, a lot of its power. Kind of like just naturally just drained out. But it didn't drain out completely. Because sometime later, as with my mother, my dear mother, helping her to purchase something kind of similar. Again, the salesperson was on commission, but this time, right, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be savvy. I'm going to, let them take advantage of us. I found myself being rude to the salesperson, you know, and saying things that I wouldn't normally say, but I had was overcompensating. And then I just noticed that I was starting to feel bad. I was starting to feel like a terrible person, which is not the direction we want to go, right? So I actually said to the salesperson, I'm sorry, I'm actually rude to you. I know this is just your job, but I just don't want us to get taken advantage of. Wow, did things shift, right? Then everything was just fine. Then I just felt like everything worked out fine, and both my mom and I felt good. The salesperson, she was delightful. She was really helpful and helped us. So there's a way that anger, right, it can influence us so much later, right? Even if we don't, even if we're not recognizing it. But it doesn't mean that we have to naturally take it to its extreme and just continuing being rude or angry or something like this. As soon as we notice, we can do a course correction. So for me, that's my one of my stories is I felt like I'd been taken advantage of, or I had this view of myself that wouldn't happen to me with salespeople. But you could inquire for yourself, what kind of things make you feel angry? When you're being criticized, when you're being ignored, when you're not getting your way, some of these things. And then you can inquire, how do you experience your anger, or what do you do when you're feeling angry? Do you speak rudely to others? Do you raise your voice? Do you shut down, withdraw? And does your anger often get expressed, or maybe it feels a little bit more hidden, and we could walk around with simmering resentments, or with some, just a tightness or a constriction, a sense of not having an open heart, not being open to what's happening. So sometimes we could, either in meditation or not in meditation, we could also inquire, how does anger feel in the body? So often that's very helpful to get connected to the body. I think most of our emotions are felt in this central axis of the body, kind of the face, the throat, the chest, the belly. Not always and not all of them, but usually That's where there is. So we could do a gentle inquiry, like, what's happening here? Is our face getting a little bit red or hot? Is our belly tight? Maybe we just feel heat all over. And then also we can inquire to what's happening with our mind. But also when we're feeling angry, but also we can, if we notice these things in our mind, can be a clue that we're angry, even if we don't even know that we're angry. So one is a heightened sense of self. Like our sense of self is often is on a spectrum. So we can be this self-righteousness. How dare they do this to me? I am a person who does this. I am right. You are wrong. I this, I that. Or there can be on the other end of the spectrum, maybe when we're with someone we love, we feel relaxed, or we're doing a hobby, or maybe we're just going out for a walk in nature, right? We're not so much like thinking about ourselves or what it means to be a self or something like this. So our sense of self is on a spectrum. Often anger puts us on the end of the spectrum where we are feeling a strong sense of me, a strong sense of I am this way, and it's feeling threatened. And we may also have a sense of self-righteousness. You know, how dare they do this to me? But also with this having this strong sense of self, there's often a sense of separation. I'm here, and you being everybody, is there. Right? There's a real distinction. Of course, there's distinctions between people, but sometimes that separation gets highlighted. So when we're feeling angry, we could just inquire, am I feeling really isolated and separated and unique and special and really tight? Or is it more of a something that's, am I more a little bit more relaxed about it? Something else that happens when we're feeling angry is this proliferation of thoughts, papancha, if you've heard of this word before. If you haven't, that's okay. It's just the story making. Because this happened, this means me. This means something about me. This means something about the world. This means something about other people. So the story making that we're adding on top of the event, often the stories, when associated with anger, have to do with blame. This other person, they shouldn't have done that, and they always do that, and I can't believe they do that. I've told them so many times not to do that. Or this person's just a rotten person, and they're always doing this. Or, you know, things that it's putting things out there and, like, embellishing what's actually happening with a... That's a story that may, you know, we say something that leads to something else, that leads to something else, that leads to something else. Instead of just being with the experience in the body or just noticing how things are. And of course, there are people that we could name and blame as culprits, but we could kind of Buddhism as the real culprit, the real underlying cause, I can say, is ignorance. Just people not understanding either themselves or understanding the way to happiness or not understanding the bigger picture, as well as for us not understanding our beliefs and what we do when they feel threatened or compromised. So it's just, it's Sylvia Boorstein, who is one of the teachers at Spirit Rock. She's one of the founding teachers. She's this beautiful older woman. And she writes that there are no human enemies, only confused people that need help. That's different to think about people being confused and not understanding as opposed to thinking they're a bad person. Right? That's different. And if we have that feeling that they're confused as opposed to they're bad, then our response to them can be different. It can be one of helping, not in a way of like, I know better and you don't know anything. which often is easy to fall into, right? But in a way that's like, okay, how can we bring more clarity? How can we bring more ease to this, to what's happening? So when we're feeling angry, we can look into what is our sense of self. Is it really tight and small and separated? We can look at some of the stories we have about the other people or the other situations. And we can look at the stories that we have about ourselves. Sometimes with anger is about we're blaming ourselves. I should have known better. I can't believe I did that. So a lot of it's like, again, kind of this supports that having a contracted tight sense of self can often be angry at ourselves. That can lead to sadness, depression, kind of a cynicism or bitterness, which is not the way, right, to have a life that's filled with ease and well-being. So not only does anger affect like the stories that we make, but in general our perceptions. If we use kind of perceptions as a word to mean a way that we view the world, I think all of us have this experience, right? When we're angry, we kind of view things in a certain way, as opposed to when we're relaxed and have a sense of well-being, we may view the same thing in a different way. Driving, for example. This is a little trigger point for me. Sometimes driving, I notice that I don't like it. Like when somebody's in my blind spot and they stay in my blind spot, I'm like speeding up or slowing down and they're still in my blind spot. I find myself like getting angry. But that anger has a different feel if I'm in a hurry or if I just am feeling flustered than if I'm, you know, relaxed and have plenty of time or something like this. I think all of us have this experience that our perceptions change depending on our mind state. But not only that, that when we're angry, we often start to pile on and remember all those other things that make us angry, just to make it worse, right? We kind of like pour gasoline on the fire and just like make it a real experience, right? To like not only that and this and oh my God, that reminds me of that time of, you know, X, Y, or Z. So anger really does have an impact on us. Not only anger, I should say all of our emotions, right? I could say the same thing about well-being. It impacts the stories that we make. It impacts our sense of self. It's the opposite. Our sense of self tends to be less constricted and a little bit more expansive. We tend to view things through a way. We give people the benefit of the doubt. We are a little bit more relaxed about what's happening. Somebody's in your blind spot. For me, I would like just slow way down or something to let them do whatever they're going to do or something like this, as opposed to like getting irritated and trying to manipulate and the situation and jockey the what's happening. And then Sharon Salzberg, who is a teacher of loving kindness, who's one of the founders of bringing loving kindness practice really into insight meditation, she writes that, I found these words kind of strong words, but I think they're right. She writes that anger is an incredibly deluding force. That's kind of true, right? We see things in a certain way, in a constricted way. When we're in the throes of anger, certainly, right? We only see things a certain way. If we want more ease and freedom, delusion is not the way to go. I think all of us know that, right? It's kind of more understanding is the way to go. And part of the way why it's delusional is it gives us a tunnel vision and a sense that there's only limited options. Of course I have to yell. Of course I have to behave in a certain way. There's no other way around it. But sometimes, I think all of us have this experience. It's often a week later, a month later, a year later, a decade later, we may realize, I could have done this. I could have done something else. At the time, I couldn't see that that was available, and I only acted out in this one particular way. So, and that's one way in that it's deluding, is it doesn't help us to see all the options that may be available for us. We can only see a certain subset of the options. And of course, kind of delusion also leads to that obsessiveness that I kind of described that I had when I felt like I had been maltreated with this thing that I purchased. This is like this compulsive quality, just going over and over it. The neuroscientists tell us that this isn't just our imagination. Of course, they can measure this kind of stuff in the laboratory and in the scanners, that when people are angry, certain types get activated, and then it tends to like activate these other regions of the brain, which then activate the first region, and it just gets into a vicious cycle. So it's not just our perception that that's what's happening. That actually is what's happening, if you want to believe neuroimaging. Okay, so if we want to work with anger, what can we do? So I think the objective here is to be able to work skillfully with it. As I said, not to make it go away and not to pretend like it's not there. It is there. It is a part of our lives. And so part of the way to work skillfully with anger is to be able to explore it. As I said, to inquire, like, how does it feel? But also to explore, what is our relationship to anger? Are we embarrassed when we feel anger? Do we think that we should never feel anger? Are we complexed or confused by anger? And, you know, we can experiment with having different perspectives. We can intentionally choose, like, how would somebody else, maybe we could choose a particular person, how would they view this experience? Versus, how am I viewing this? That could help us to highlight our own views, to be reminded that other people may look at it that differently. Somebody that we know, somebody that we consider who is wise, it could be even a spiritual leader, that we think have some wisdom. Like, how would this person consider anger? Also to explore, what is the context? Am I tired and hungry? Am I an introvert that's had to extrovert all day long and now I'm feeling like taxed? Can I, what's the context? So that then we can better understand, like, what are the conditions that are going to help give rise to anger? And explore it in this way, the anger can help us bring understanding. Oh, okay, I see why anger arose. And often it's this understanding that is key, that can help to drain out some of the energy, that can drain out some of the suffering of it, just by having greater clarity around it, as opposed to just getting carried away or pushed around by it. Sometimes just having a greater understanding, like, okay, yeah, I hadn't eaten, or this person always makes me feel whatever way, and of course I was just, the conditions were there for me to be angry. And then here, right, at IMC and kind of Greater Insight Meditation Community, we talk about mindfulness. So just to be with the experience. So I talked about being with the body and to inquire of what's happening with our mind. But part of our exploration is to also inquire, is the way that I'm being with this helpful or not helpful? Often we can feel like, oh, I'm being mindful with it. But the way that we're being mindful is kind of fueling it, is making it be putting gasoline on the fire in a certain way. So we can always ask, is the way that I'm being with this helpful? We may think that we're being mindful, but in fact we're lost in it and we're being swept away by it, or maybe we're even indulging in it, but we're thinking that we're mindful of it. So, because, right, I mean, sometimes we have knots that we get tied tighter when we are really trying to be with them. Like, we have this, I hate this, and I want to get rid of it, and I assume it means this about me. And if we find that we're in this kind of a thing, kind of a loop, then something that we can do is open up our awareness. So I talked about being with our body and our thoughts, which is a little bit more kind of like zooming in. If we find that we're getting swept away, we can zoom out. Have our awareness as big as the room, as big as the city block, as big as the city, in whatever way that makes sense to you. And that way, the experiences of anger can arise, but our awareness is a little bit bigger. And our awareness will include, yes, I am having this experience, but there are also sounds happening, cars going by. There is also my feet. I can feel them on the ground. I can feel my the chair or the cushion on my body. So it's not all encompassing our experience, but to be able to include other things in our experience as well. Maybe I'm seeing things. And to recognize that our experience at all times is really lots and lots of things are happening. And we can choose to put our attention elsewhere. Now, I say this about like broaden our awareness. It's not always easy, right? What happens is we broaden, and then it just kind of naturally will want to get small again, and then we just have to broaden it out, and then it'll get small, and then we can just open it up. And even this can just be a practice with how to be with anger, is just to, oh, yep, here, okay, I feel tight again, and just open it up. And you may feel something in the body, and you'll be with that, and then you can may find yourself getting tighter and tighter, and then like, oh, no, okay, here we go, I'm going to open it up again. So that's another one way to work with it. Also, I've heard Andrea talk about this a number of times in her experience of just putting anger aside. Like, okay, here it is. I can feel it. I can feel the heat in my face. I can feel a tightness in the belly. I can feel my thoughts starting to race around this. But I'm not going to give it my primary attention. Just as I said, you can broaden your experience or you can put it on somewhere else. Maybe go for a walk if that's feasible. So not suppressing it and not pretending like it's not there, but not making it the primary focus either. Being willing to choose something else. Be able to put it aside and like, okay, maybe I'll come back to this later. But right now, I'm not going to have this be my only experience. Something that I often do if I'm feeling overwhelmed by my emotions is just as I said earlier, but to just really bring attention to the feet on the ground. This very simple action, just being grounded, can have a really big impact. Otherwise, we often get ungrounded and get lost in stories. But feeling our feet on the ground. And this is something, right, that takes less than a second and can be done in the middle of a conversation, right, anywhere, all the time. If your feet are on the ground, on the chair, whatever. Just feel where your feet are. This can have a huge impact, actually. Just kind of remind us to be here now as opposed to lost in stories. And then, of course, part of if we're feeling anger or hostility, we can apply an antidote. And I'm saying, of course, because I'm in the Buddhist teachings, this is a classic teaching. The antidote for feeling hostility is to practice loving kindness. That's not always available to us in that moment. And I have not found, maybe you guys have, that it's not really possible. I haven't to do loving kindness towards the same person when I'm feeling a little bit of anger at the same time. Maybe a little bit later I can, but right then. So practicing loving kindness towards whomever it's easy to do loving kindness. This includes kittens, puppies, babies, squirrels, you know, cute things that to kind of put our attention there in a way that will kind of stop this real constriction of the heart, that instead can start kind of open up the heart. So the way that, and help us get out of kind of some of the obsessiveness is to intentionally put our attention somewhere else. If you have a loving kindness practice, that is where you meditate and you say phrases, this becomes easier and easier and easier. It's much easier to just switch over and say, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of loving kindness here. And maybe it can just be, you know, 1 minute, 2 minutes, but that's kind of stops the train from going down the tracks of greater and greater hostility and anger. Maybe later you'll have compassion and love for the person for whom you have hostility, but don't expect that right then you'll be able to do that, right? Just be able to switch gears and to do something like that. And to do it in a simple way, loving kindness. Maybe you don't have to do phrases, or if those of you who are familiar with loving kindness as a formal meditation practice, maybe you could just bring to mind things that bring some lightness to the heart. Just visualize, bring to mind. I recently was on this retreat. Wow, that these chipmunks, they were like so cute. They're kind of small, and we don't have too many chipmunks around here. So now when I just bring to mind chipmunks, it just makes my heart kind of like open up a little bit. They're just so sweet, these little creatures that are just jumping around, and I don't know, I just thought they were adorable. So you can intentionally do something like that, right? We can use the incredible capacities of our mind to intentionally place it on things that will support our lives in a way that will help us have a life that has richness without repressing what we're experiencing, without pretending that we're not angry, but in a way that supports us. So maybe I'll end with, there's these verses in the early Buddhist teachings. This isn't the Buddha who is speaking. It's somebody else who is speaking to the Buddha who says this, and the Buddha agrees with this. But I like these. This person is speaking in verse, and he says, "Do not let anger overpower you, and do not become angry at those who are angry. Non-anger and harmlessness always dwell within the hearts of the noble ones. Like a mountain avalanche, anger can crush people." It's very evocative, right? An avalanche, right? This big, huge rush of things. I'm going to crush people. Right? Is it crushing the person who has anger, or is it crushing the person to whom the anger is expressed? And also this non-anger and harmlessness dwell within the hearts of noble ones. Non-anger, loving kindness, right? Harmlessness is compassion and care. So we want to create the conditions in which our lives, our hearts, our minds can be more filled with loving kindness and compassion. That's the way to greater ease and freedom and well-being. Harboring and expressing anger and hostility is not the way to greater freedom, but repressing it or being completely disconnected from it is also not a way, right, to have freedom and ease. So thank you, and I wish you ease and freedom and lots of well-being. Thank you.